Okay, so now we move on to our new sugya. It's hot. It is a new sugya, but some of the principles that we just developed in the previous sugya are going to play out here as well. And now the Rishonim take a little bit of a shift within the global question of mitzvah Aveira. We've been speaking a little bit more about kabanas, a little bit more about lulav. Now we move into the realm of the mitzvah of matzah. And it actually begins really with the question of Tosfos in our sugya in the Flamid. But in order to appreciate Tosfos' question, we have to first learn the sugya to see where Tosfos is coming from. So we'll open up with the first in the Rambam Kabbalah on page 25, matzah shel tevel. So tevel means pradus, actually this expression, pradus that grew in Eretz Yisrael, that one did not separate the proper trupas and ma'isiris. So one is not permitted min haTorah to eat such pradus. So comes the Gemara in Pesachim, the Flamin Hamid Beis, Tanar Baruch, what's the b'raisa? Yachal yotzi adem midei chavasa b'tevel shlo niskan. I might think that a person could fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with tevel, with pradus that has not yet been fixed, that has not yet been separated. So before the Gemara even addresses whether that is or is not a true statement, the Gemara says textually, that's the way the presentation is not correct. You wouldn't use the phrase tevel shalom niskan. Tevel that wasn't fixed. Kol tevel nami halos, that's the definition of tevel. Tevel means something that wasn't fixed. That means it wasn't separated to the Mizras. So the Gemara says, what the Brice meant is as follows. Ela betevel shalom niskan kol tzorcho. What the Brice is trying to highlight is that I might think that you could fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with tevel that wasn't completely fixed. We open up Pashas Korach, the last couple of aliyahs, so teach us that there are multiple things that have to happen before one can eat fruit or grain or any produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, you have to separate truma gedola, so that has to go to the Kohen. Then you have to separate Maisa Risho, that goes to the Levi. Then the Levi has to separate Trumas Maisa, a tenth of that tenth that the Torah speaks about at the very end of the parasha, that goes back to the Kohen. Then, depending on the year of the cycle, if it's year 1, 2, 4, or 5 of the Shemitah cycle, you have to separate Maisa Sheni and bring it to Yerushalayim. And if it's year 3 or 6, then you have to separate Maisa Adi and give it to the poor people. And if it's year 7, then you get a freebie. Then a Shemitah, whatever grew by itself, you'll not eat without Trumas and Maisa. It's fine. So I might think that if you have Tevel that's been partially fixed, but not completely fixed, what would that mean? Shenitla mimenu truma gedola. So I took off the first truma, the most important in a sense. I took off the truma that goes to the Kohen. But lo nitla mimenu trumas ma'aser. But I never got around to separating the trumas ma'aser. Or ma'aser risho, and I separated the first ma'aser, below ma'aser sheni. I never got around to doing the second ma'aser. Or if I feel the ma'aser on it. Or if it's a ma'aser on a year, I didn't get around to separating that. So I would think maybe those kinds of tevels are not so bad. You know, I can understand if it's tevel that the real McCoy tevel, that nothing was touched. So that I can accept. But how do you know that I just didn't finish up the rough edges? I didn't do every single hafrasha. How do you know that that's off limits as well? So Talmud Lama, we have the following pasuk: those sochal alav chametz. The Torah says don't eat chametz, and then in the same breath, the Torah says don't eat chametz, but rather eat matzah. So the Torah Shabbat teaches us: misha isuro mishum al teichal alav chametz. Yotzozeh she ain't isur mishum al teichal chametz am mishum al teichal tevel. So with this drasha that compares chametz to matzah, it's going to teach us as follows. Only a type of matzah that the only potential kashrus problem that would have existed was a chametz sticker problem. So Baruch Hashem, I baked it in 17 and a half minutes, I saved the chametz problem. That's something that's eligible for matzah. So when you have grain, you have a dough, you have something that is only a chametz concern, that type of a dough is acceptable for matzah. But if you have a dough in front of you that has half dozen other halachic concerns, one of those, I can't eat it anyway. Forget about chametz. I can't eat it because I didn't separate truma, mice, mice, risha, mice, shein, mice, ani, chum, spat. There's some kind of other, in a sense, kashrus problem, some kind of other issue with this dough, not a chametz-related issue. That dough is off-limits. That dough is puzzled. That matzah is not acceptable min haTorah for the mitzvah of matzah. So it's a gezeiras hakosav that teaches us that matzah shel tevel is not acceptable. So comes Tosfos with the background now of our sugya. It says, I don't understand, says Tosfos. I said, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that matzah shel tevel is no good? Whenever I have a pasuk to teach me something, so the clear implication is that if not for the pasuk, I would have said the opposite. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us pasuk for no reason. The Tosh Rapat didn't present, but Kadosh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe Rabbeinu the Dini HaTorah, and he put all the Dini HaTorah into the words and letters and nuances and ribuyim and esks to drushas, etc. That whole body of Tosh Baksav and Tosh Rapat was there for a reason, was there for a purpose. It's to teach me something that I wouldn't have known on my own. So comes Tosfos in the second of the Maamar Kamos in Sukkah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph and leaves with a tema. They left the Tosfos without an answer. Umiyu tema, says Tosfos. Reparakol Shah, we have a brisa in the second berachah psachim, the brisa we just read, the sadi that taught us, ein yotzi de matzah b'tevel, you don't fulfill your mitzvah matzah with tevel, v'darish levikra. And the Gemara drashed the pasuk, the Gemara needed a pasuk, lo sochal, to teach me that. He asks Tosfos, tepuk levishu mitzvah b'yaveira. Boom. He asks Tosfos, what do you need a pasuk for? Any time the Gemara could figure it out on their own. It simply should have been covered by mitzvah b'yaveira. The ka'achel yisur v'naf yidei matzah. You're eating a davar aser. You're eating treifa food. You're eating tevel. You're violating nisa misa b'dei shemayim. So obviously, you're not yetzid mitzvah. Ein lucha mitzvah b'yaveira. G'dolam izu. That's Tosfos kasha. And therefore, Tosfos says, why do I need a pasuk? And Tosfos has no answer. So we have to first understand the significance of Tosfos' question. Do we really truly understand where they were coming from in their question? And even though Tosfos left the question hanging with the Tema and don't offer an answer, are there other answers out there? Are there other Rishonim who could provide answers? And if so, why didn't Tosfos go down those routes? So that's basically the format of our sugya. So we just set up the basic category, basic structure of our sugya is to appreciate Tosfos' question, to see alternate possible potential answers to Tosfos' question, and each time we see an answer to Tosfos' question, to go back to Tosfos and say, so if you're so smart, you got such a great teretz, so how come Tosfos didn't offer that teretz? What was wrong? What was controversial? What was questionable about each and one of those teretz? So that we know the direction that we have to go. So first we have to appreciate Tosfos' question. Would we have asked this question or not? Would we have posed such a question that, wait a second, eating tevel is melech mitzvah b'yaveira, and it should be disqualified based on mitzvah b'yaveira? So the first question we have to go back to is the end of last sugya. We don't have to go back so far. It's only about 10 minutes ago. We just spoke speaking about it. We have to go back and re-examine the Machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam as to what is covered by mitzvah b'yaveira and what is not, and see, is this a valid question in light of that Machlokes? So according to the Rambam, who had a very, very, you know, all-inclusive, all-expansive definition of mitzvah b'aveira, aveira done, mitzvah no good. Aveira happened, no mitzvah. That's the Rambam's definition. Doesn't matter. There's no correlation. There's no connection. There's no facilitation. Aveiras, mitzvahs, can't live together. So according to the Rambam, it's not a good kasha. According to the Rambam, you're doing an aveira every day. You're chewing this matzah. You're eating this matzah. You're getting an X in Shemayim. You can't get an X in a check in the same chef. So that's basically the Rambam Shita. So I can't get an X in a check if some aveira, I worshipped the lulav 3-6 months ago. Can't use that lulav anymore. No, X's can't turn into checks, even though there's no connection between the two. So it's over here. The X of Achilles Tevel, that is the Reis, is the Mitzvah Shemayim, is the Tevel. I can't turn around the same breath and say, well, I got an X with that matzah, but let me give me a check also. That's not going to fly, not going to work according to the Rambam. But what about according to Tosfos? According to Tosfos, that the definition of mitzvah b'aveira is predicated on the assumption that the aveira is contributing to the mitzvah. It is the aveira that is facilitating the mitzvah, such as the primary example. You stole the lulav, and now you're being yotzei the mitzvah of lulav. You didn't have your own lulav. You didn't go to the store to buy your own lulav. So your aveira of gezela is facilitating the performance of the mitzvah. Truthfully, in Tosfos' case, in this new question, in the case of Pesach Adar Lamed Hei, is the aveira of achilas tevel really facilitating the mitzvah? Well, let's rephrase the question. I have a piece of matzah in front of me. Do I really need the aveira to perform the mitzvah? Not really. I could very, very easily perform the mitzvah without performing any aveira whatsoever. Just take off a little piece of the matzah. That's true, maize shady, maize honey, true, maize, etc. I can do it. What's the big deal? I have a big, big, big piece of matzah. I'll take a little, carve off a tenth, carve off a hundredth, carve off a little piece, give it to all the appropriate people, and I still have plenty of matzah left. So what does Tosfos want? So, what? Yontif, b'drabanan, because you're not allowed to take a truce of ISIS on Yontif, but we'll wait in the world of their ISIS, in the world of Psukim. So here I have a piece of matzah in front of me. So according to Tosfos' definition, according to their limitation of Tzibah B'Veira, a piece of matzah in front of me, what's the problem? What kind of Tzibah B'Veira is that? You, Tosfos, yourselves, 5 lines earlier, it's the same Tosfos, just developed the principle that Mitzvah B'Veira is very, very limited in scope. That's why Mitzvah B'Veira does not apply to Lulav Shel Avodah Zarah, Tosfos says. It doesn't apply to Lulav Shel Asherah. That Girsa that said that it does was wrong, says Tosfos. The only time Mitzvah B'Veira applies is cases such as Gezela, when there's a clear-cut connection between the Avera and the Mitzvah. That clear-cut connection is not really here. Unless you want to argue, the fellow only has exactly a Kedayis. It's to the crumb. He has a kezias. That's what it means. Unlikely. So what does Pshat in Tosfos? So come back and we explain. Mistama with Tosfos meant is as follows. That almost, like a brisk of in Tosfos, there are almost two different types of mitzvah b'aveira. The mitzvah b'aveira, where the aveira was done, not b'shasa mitzvah. I did aveira 6 months ago. Whether it means I stole the lulav 6 months ago, or whether it means I worshipped the idol, I worshipped the tree 6 months ago. So aveira was done back in Chodesh Kislev, and now we're trying to paskin 6 months later. Is that aveira going to impact the performance of the mitzvah? So the Rambam says, yeah. The Rambam says, I don't care if aveira was done 100 years ago. Aveira done to chefza, comes with Reuven and qualifies it and says, chal hashem takes place in the chefza, you're done, your history, you're finished. So Tosfos did not go that far. Tosfos didn't believe that happens. Tosfos said, you didn't have aveira 6 months ago. You robbed a lulav tree 6 months ago. You stole the other guy's lulav, and now you want to use it 6 months later. So that kind of a relationship where there's a time gap between the two, if the aveira is facilitating the mitzvah, that's a problem. If the aveira has no connection to the mitzvah, you worshipped the Vedazara last year, and now you want to use a lulav, so it's not simultaneous, and there's no connection, there's no correlation between the two. That in and of itself is not called mitzvah b'aveira. But the Achronim write, what if b'shas ma'isa ha-mitzvah, you are producing an aveira? You're getting a check and an X simultaneous. So even though, true, there is no facilitating of the aveira, what you're lacking in facilitation, you're gaining I'm not sure what the English word would be, but we'll say it quick. Doing it at the same time. Bottom line is, you're doing it. I was thinking of what is that word of simultaneity. I don't know, whatever it is, you got the picture. So bottom line is, says at 6:40 in the morning, this, my English is not, not 1600 SATs in a regular day, so come at 6:40. So comes the Acharonim and say that Tosfos is willing to walk down almost down two tracks in its Bavera. The idea of mitzvah, the goal of creating a psula mitzvah b'aveira, not that the goal we should be attaining, but when you're learning the psula mitzvah b'aveira, so the idea is you have to connect the aveira in the mitzvah. How do you connect the two? So Tosfos offer you different options of how to connect the two to pose a problem. One is when A facilitates B, or the other is when A and B are simultaneous. So that second type of mitzvah b'aveira is what Tosfos is picking on here. And Tosfos is saying, you're eating matzah, and you're violating Tevil, and you're coming to Shemayim with X's and Sheks in the same bite, the same swallow, in the Chometz of Avera Gedol, that's for sure Mitzvah of Avera, and therefore Mi Otema, what happened? It's an interesting pshat of Tosfos. It's a little bit strange that Tosfos didn't develop that. The Tosfos didn't explain that. After all, Tosfos just 5 minutes ago, it's the same Tosfos. It's not like Tosfos wrote this 20 blad ago. Tosfos wrote in the same Divrei Maschil, the same Tosfos. When Tosfos just got finished telling him the Rambam's not right, just got finished rejecting the gears about mitzvah b'aveira by Lul Shloshera, Tosfos developed this basic fundamental premise of facilitation, and then they ask a question which doesn't have facilitation, assuming that you were smart enough to figure out that being simultaneous is the equivalent of facilitation. So again, it's a little bit of a jump, a little bit of a stretch, but otherwise I really don't know how to explain Tosfos Kasha. So we're going to stick with Tosfos Kasha, we're going to accept Tosfos Kasha, but whereas Tosfos leaves the Kasha hanging, let's see, maybe we can come up with some possible terrors. So the very basic type of format of a question of saying, what do I need a pasuk? Isn't it covered by mitzvah b'aveira? Is clearly assuming something about the strength of mitzvah b'aveira, about the source of mitzvah b'aveira. If mitzvah b'aveira would only be midrabanan, you would never ask such a question. So obviously, Tosfos is assuming that mitzvah b'aveira must be a d'oraisa d'ka psul, and therefore the question is justified. Maybe there are other answers, but at least the question is justified. If you would have assumed that mitzvah b'aveira is only midrabanan in nature, and the pasuk from Malachi is a asmach, that's not really true, maybe it's kotship, you would never ever pose a question in the first place. Now that's not a great surprise, because as we know already, this Tosfos holds that way. Because remember, this is part of the same Tosfos, this Tosfos of the last sugya. Tosfos and the Flamen and Alf and Sukkah does hold that mitzvah b'aveira is d'oraisa. Tosfos said it clearly, very, very clear at the beginning of the Tosfos. Which Rishonim would not have asked this question? Which Rishonim would have said, wait a second, it's mitzvah b'aveira, what are you deposit? They would have simply said, no, it's not. Mitzvah b'aveira is only d'rabbanan. That's the other Tosfos, back in the Tesavit Aleph. That was the Tosfos we spent so much time in last week. The Tosfos asked the same question on the Tesavit, they asked the Flavit, why do I need a pasuk to tell me stolen sukkah is no good? What happened to mitzvah b'aveira? To which Tosfos says, nah, bad question. Mitzvah b'aveira is only d'rabbanan. So the same way Tosfos on the Tesavit Aleph asked asked the question from Sukkah and gave the answer, the mitzvah of Aveir is ultimately Rabbanan, they could give the identical question and answer over here. So again, it's not surprising that Tosfos and Daf Lamed doesn't give that answer because they disagree with what they said in Daf Tes for a different Bali Tosfos, but at least we are comfortable presenting one solution to the problem. So far, we're not 100% sure why Tosfos asked the question in the first place. We had to iron out the question, but we tried our best to iron out that question. And then, now that we have the ironed out question, we have a potential solution. Again, we appreciate what Tosfos and Daf Lamed didn't go down that route, but at least we, in the back of our minds, have a potential solution. Do we have any other possible solutions? So if you remember, we spoke about the Ritva, who offers the possibility that mitzvah b'aveira exists in the Torah, but not for all mitzvahs. Not all mitzvahs are created equal. Only those mitzvahs that fall into the category of ritzui. Mitzvahs such as Karbanos, mitzvahs such as Dal and Minim, those kinds of mitzvahs lend themselves to mitzvah b'aveir. Mitzvahs that are there to appease the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you shake the lulav, shake the carpet, etc. But mitzvahs that are just mitzvahs, just sitting in a sukkah, just a mitzvah. So the Ritva quoted a possibility that a mitzvah such as sukkah, which doesn't have that dimension, doesn't have that characteristic of ritzui, maybe is not subject to mitzvah b'aveir. So perhaps we can borrow that idea and use that to answer the matzah question. Maybe the reason why matzah would not have been covered by mitzvah b'aveira is not because mitzvah b'aveira is not a deraisa. No, that's not the answer. It is a deraisa by kavanas and lulav, not by sukkah and matzah. Those are the mitzvahs not of ritzoi. So we're so proud of ourselves. Wow, we came up with that answer. We dug up a ritva and daf lamed that was talking about sukkah. We said, we could use that ritva to solve the matzah problem. So, I mean, we could be proud of ourselves, except for the fact that the Rishon already beat us to the punch. That was Rabbeinu Peretz's terrors to the Kasha. If you remember, when we first quoted that Ritva, I said, the Ritva is alluding to a Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz is not in Sukkah. It's in Tosa Rabbeinu Peretz in Psachim, on Daf Lamed Hei. With Tosas, Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the Balei Tosas, they ask the same question, what do we need a pasuk by matzah? And to answer that question, Rabbeinu Peretz gives the teretz, matzah is difficult because it's not ritzui. So we're right on the mark. That's a great teretz. That's exactly what Rabbeinu Peretz said. So we have, so far, two possible answers to Tosa's dilemma. So again, we're not even sure why Tosa's posed the question in the first place. At first glance, it doesn't seem to fit into their scheme of things, the mitzvah of Avera. So we had a quote Acharon, and we had to fine-tune the Tosa's question a little bit. Once we've developed that the question is a legitimate, is a valid question, so then we're trying to offer answers, and we're going back to some of the things we learned in the last sugya to answer. So we saw, according to Tosa and Sukkah Daf Tes, we have a good answer. According to Tosa and Peretz, we have a good answer. But we could also appreciate why Tosa and Sukkah Daf Lama didn't want to go down either route. They held mitzvah of Avera's deraisa. They didn't buy into Rabbeinu Peretz's distinction between Ritzui and not Ritzui. So Tosfos justified in leaving it as the Tema. So the regular answers that appear to be shown him are not going to help with Tosfos.
So couldn't one say that Tevel, I don't know if this is in line with the Rambam, but the Tevel in itself is not a gazela, it's not something that is usher. Tevel itself will be mutter later on. It's almost like
I mean, it's a type of an Aveira that's almost rectifiable.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of an Aveira doesn't lend itself to mitzvah Aveira. It's possible. I mean, one could say that there are Rishonim who say that in a little bit of a different context, we're not going to get to that in the Lamed Hei, who say that vis-a-vis some other aspect of Tevel. So it could be, maybe. Maybe it's a kind of an Aveira that's needed to be Misach. Right, okay. So the truth is that there's a Ramban that says that. The Ramban suggests such an idea. The Tevel, there is a Ramban in Psachim that says that the answer to this kasha. What? Gazela is rectifiable. You mean you can return
it?
But the problem, there's a big difference time. Because when you return the Gazela, they don't have the Luv anymore. Whereas the Tevel, I could fix the problem. Okay.
Or he can be mochel.
Okay. So the Ramban, the Emes says you're right. The Ramban does answer that. You're right. You're 100% right. The Ramban in Psachim answers that. That maybe Katos' question is not justified. There's a lower level style of an Aveira. So we're going to come back to that Ramban a little bit later on as the Sugya develops. So far we have.
No,
that's not going to work. So we've almost gone through the possible answers in the Rishonim. We saw the Tosa's answer in the Aftas. We saw Tosa's Rebbe Peretz's answer. Azriel jumped us with the Ramban's answer. But all the Rishonim's answers, we understand, we can appreciate where Tosa's didn't go down that route. There is another answer that is given that doesn't appear in Rishonim. It's a Shagis Aryeh, which is going to open up for us an entire new aspect of this sugya. Hopefully, that's next week. We'll begin by trying to understand the Shagis Aryeh's answer to what Tosfos left, Tosfos' dilemma b'tema. Take a little bit of time to understand that and then go back to the drawing board why Tosfos didn't go down the road. Hopefully, that's next week.